2 Chronicles 7 and verse 12, we're going to read down to verse 14. And it said, And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And so in this passage we see God's response to him. But in verse 13, the way God phrases it maybe makes us a little uneasy or unsure. Because we kind of look at it, well, things happen in life, and a lot of times we usually try to blame Mother Nature or the weatherman or something like that, right? Where and we get upset with them a lot of times when either we don't get enough rain or we get too much rain or whatever, right? But we see here that God is saying, okay, well, if there comes a time when I shut up heaven that there be no rain, where he's taking credit for this, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, that we kind of look at that and we say, well, wait a minute, why would God do that? Those things all seem to be mean things that he would do. That doesn't seem to be, that doesn't seem to fit with God, because God's merciful and kind. But I think we want to realize kind of why God sometimes brings these things along and what he's trying to do through them. Because a lot of times we know that God is abundantly blesses us, but so often what happens, we receive the blessings and we forget the blesser. We're thankful for all this stuff that he gives us, and then we almost take credit for it. We see that in Deuteronomy, that Moses, as inspired by God, gave a warning to the children of Israel. He says, beware when thou hast eaten and art full, that thou forget the Lord thy God. And that's what pretty well always happens in any society, that there comes a time where they're seeking the Lord delivers them, the Lord blesses them as a nation, as a people. But then, as they enjoy that prosperity, then they forget about God. And so, God sometimes has to pull away some of the blessings to get their attention. And he does that with us at different times. And because it's a thing that we want to just kind of coast doing our own thing. And we don't want to really have to stop and think and really do some self-assessment of where we are as people or as a nation. And so it's necessary sometimes where he does this. And it's not necessarily we want to look at it as being like where he's being, well, we definitely don't want to look at it in the thought that he's being vindictive or anything like that, because that's not his nature. That all that he does, it is for our good. And sometimes he allows things that we would look at as being bad in order to try to help us come to a different perspective in life. And we kind of see with some of what is with what is said there in verse 13, that that these are things that in this country specifically, and we've experienced that. I know last year, like this year, we haven't had the problem with the heavens being shut up that there be no rain. That we've Lord's been blessing with that, and we're very thankful for the rain we've been getting. The crops are looking probably one of the nicest crops that we've seen for a long time out in the fields. But we know last year it was just like they were waiting for rain and we didn't get some till really the end of June, and that just really made the production of the crops so much farther behind from what they could have been. And but sometimes we get different bugs. Sometimes we don't have locusts, but we've had years where it's been grasshoppers. Sometimes it's been those cutworms and things. And sort of each crop has its own little bug that likes to devour it, and we end up getting them sometimes. But then we have that word pestilence, and it's not a word that we really use much. It's not one we necessarily understand even, but with the coronavirus that's come around, that basically kind of helps us understand it a bit more clearly. And that's what a pestilence is. It's this infectious disease that rages through a population, and it can be a very serious thing. And all these things we kind of wish, well, they wouldn't happen. And we wonder, well, what's God allowing these things to happen? What's going on? But I want us to just kind of pause and ponder and think with it. Because when these things happen, that it is a challenge to us as His people, and it's also an opportunity. It's the thing that God wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. If everything always goes the way we think it should, it's our faith really isn't challenged or tested, right? It's when we have the rough times, and it almost seems like God doesn't care, that God's far away, that those are the moments where we're tested in our faith, and where we learn that, okay, nope, God knows what He's doing. He's going to see me through this. He's going to give me grace through this trial, and it's going to be okay. And so it's a time where we're tested, and it's the thing we want to pass the test. And it comes with our response. Because sometimes what happens is when things don't go our way, we get frustrated. We try to blame somebody. And we know with this pestilence, it's or with COVID-19, there's a lot of that kind of where trying to point fingers at one people or another. I know we were talking this morning of some of the Hutterite colonies where they're getting a lot of flack because of what happened, and it's like, okay, it happens, and they're sick, we want them to get better, and we don't have to like do it that way. But when these things happen, we understand it's that us reacting, and sometimes we get mad at other people because we know, well, we shouldn't get mad at God. And but God sometimes tries to say, okay, it's on me. It's like, if you can get mad at someone, get mad at me. And we need to try to realize, okay, well, that's not the right response. And if things don't go our way, we shouldn't be throwing a fit about it. We need to learn to accept it and try to learn from it. As well, it's not something where we grow so fearful and anxious and overwhelmed by these different things, what's going to happen. Because we want to know that God's looking out for us. God is doing things. But it's instead we see verse 14 really the response God wants us to have and is trying to lead us to have in these times. And really it's an opportunity when we respond the right way, when we do the right thing, that it can really make a big difference. And so we see there, and really, as you look at verse 13 and 14, that it's one big sentence, and it's all connected. And it's basically, if these things happen, then in that situation, that if we respond in a certain way, then God's going to do something great. And so we see that. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so we kind of see that God has this desire to respond to our prayers for mercy and things. He has a desire to forgive our sin, the sin of our nation, and He wants to bring healing to our land. And we would look at it, is our nation in need of healing? We would say absolutely. Certainly with this whole virus thing, that we would sure love for God to be able to give some scientist or doctor the wisdom to make a vaccine that'll just wipe this thing out and then we'll be done with it. Or it'd be nice if it just somehow just kind of went away. But we want that, but I think we realize much more than any kind of physical healing that we need, that there's a lot of spiritual healing, that there's so much going on in our society today that just is where we're destroying ourselves by our sin and by our different, we pursue after things and vote things in and people in to give us things that are to our detriment as a society. And so we need that healing. And as a nation, that there is much that we need God's forgiveness for. We need His mercy. And so we recognize we need that, and we understand God wants to bring that to us, but it hinges on us in these times, such as we are in right now, to step up and respond in the right way. And so it says, if my people, which are called by my name, and it's a thing, we understand in the context, it would be speaking of the Jewish people. They're called Israel, which means Prince of God, and so they were called after the name of God, but we think of it, of us in the New Testament era, what are we called? We're called Christians, we're little Christ, that we're called by His name. And so it would apply to His people in the Old Testament, but just as much to us as His people in the New Testament era. And it says that He asks us that we would humble ourselves. And it's the thing is that God, that humility is somewhere, it isn't where we try to look at ourselves lower than we actually are. We don't usually have a problem with low self-esteem. Usually it tends to be we have a problem with high self-esteem, where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And we think we have our agenda of what's important to us, and we're sort of can be frustrated as things happen around us, and it's sort of affecting our agenda. And that upsets us, where we really want to think, okay, well, God has an agenda that's greater than our own. And we want to be paying attention to that. And it's the thing is that with everything that's going on, and sometimes what it is we just, as believers, we just get frustrated. We throw up our hands with the way things are going in society and decisions people are making, people they vote in. And we're almost just, okay, well, I'm just waiting until God calls me home and I can leave this whole mess behind. But again, that's not the response that we're supposed to have. That it's something where we look at it, this is a mess we've made, and we've got ourselves into this, but we don't know how to get ourselves out of it. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the know-how, we don't have the strength to deal with this. And where we really look at ourselves as we are, we recognize our great need. And it's the thing, it's kind of like as men, a lot of times we don't like to have to stop and ask someone for directions, right? And I think that's why we love the whole GPS we have on our phone, because we don't have to stop and ask someone, we can just type it in and it'll tell us. And so it's the thing is that's kind of a pride for us, right? We don't want to admit that we need help. But it's something that we're in a situation today with everything that's going on where we need God's help, that we can't fix this. That people are trying, doing what they can, doing all these different restrictions to try to shut it down, but it hasn't killed it off yet. And just, we need God's help. And so it's when we humble ourselves and we seek Him. And that's where we humble ourselves and pray. And we don't pray unless we have something that we're asking for. We know that, of course, prayer is something we should have a relationship with God. We should talk to Him all the time, share our burdens with Him. But typically what happens, especially when things are going good, we think, well, I don't really need anything, so why do I need to pray? And again, it gets to a point where the Lord kind of turns off the valve of prosperity a bit in our lives, and we start to suffer need, start to suffer difficulty, that we start to realize, I need help. And that's when we go to pray. And so where we're seeking the Lord, we're seeking His help, we're just throwing up our hands to Him and just asking Him to minister to us. I was just reading this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this was Jehoshaphat, where this huge army was coming against him, and we see, this is verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20. He says, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. They just say, Lord, this is bigger than we can handle. We don't have a clue what to do. And we just, please help us. And you see in later on in that passage where God just says, sends a prophet and tells them it's going to be okay. And so it's really remarkable, because the whole nation of Judah, that they go forth towards the battlefield, families with their children, and they're singing. And by all accounts, it would look like they're going to be slaughtered. But then what happens is basically the nations that are all gathered together as allies to attack the nation of Judah, that they turn on each other and basically destroy themselves. And by the time they get up to where they are, everybody's dead, and they just go in and they take all the spoil from their tents as if they had defeated them themselves. And so we just kind of see that of just what, when we put our trust in the Lord, where we come to Him in humility, in our desperation, where we just say, I don't know what to do. We seek Him. And this actually says, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And it's kind of the thing that, we of course know God is a spirit. He doesn't exactly have a face like we would think of, although we know that the Lord Jesus, being a man, that He has a face like us. But the whole thought of it, it's more trying to get us a picture across of where we're drawing close to the Lord, where we're, it's kind of the thing. When you're, you think of Esther, where there's Haman had his plot against the Jews, and she was really the only one that was in a position to be able to speak on their behalf, to try to get them delivered. And she was reluctant at first, but then she made the decision, okay, well, fast and pray for me. I'm going to go before the king, and even if it means I'm going to die, I'm going to try to plead for my people. And so she had to see the king's face. And we see, of course, what happened is she went before him, and he held out his scepter to show grace to her, so that he'd be accepted. And that's the thing, is that kind of we're petitioning the King of Kings. It isn't something, you kind of think of it a lot of times nowadays, if you have some kind of issue with government, what happens is you write a letter and you don't know how many bureaucrats it might pass through before it might actually get to the person that you need to talk to, and then they may not even actually read it. But it's kind of the thing, like when you have something important, you want to see that person face to face and get it resolved. That's big. And that's the thing, is that we want to have that pursuit and prayer of God, that we say, okay, Lord, I have to see your face. I have to have you show your mercy to us. I need to have you intervene on this and know that you care, that we get his attention, and we're not going to give up till we see him face to face. But then as well, that we see the last thing there is that it says that we not only pray and seek his face, but we turn from our wicked ways. And that's the thing, is that a lot of times we all have sins that do so easily beset us, things that we don't think they're such a big deal, things we hold on to much longer than we should. And we try to think they're no big deal, but a lot of times God is trying to say, yes, this is a big deal. You kind of think of his workings with Job, right? That Job was in many ways a really godly spiritual man, but there were still some things he needed to work through, and he brought him through what was a terrible trial to test his faith, but to help him with some of those things, just of his terms of justifying himself more than God. And so we see that is that God wants us to be serious with him, and it's kind of the thing, especially as his people, if we don't take his word seriously, if we don't take sin seriously, how can we expect lost people to ever take it seriously, right? And so God wants us to make that step where we say, okay, enough's enough. I'm not going to hold on to these things anymore. I'm going to let them go. And we think of what it says in Psalm 66:18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so it's a thought, okay, I have to get rid of these things. I have to deal with this. And so it's where we turn to the Lord with all our hearts, where we see what it talks about in Joel, that it says we're to rend our hearts and not our garments, that we're not just having these outward expressions of mourning, but that we're saying, okay, Lord, this is serious. I'm going to deal with this. We think of what David spoke of in Psalm chapter 51, where he was confessing his sin, asking the Lord to forgive him. And he says in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That sometimes that's kind of the thing, is that we almost, the way it works sometimes is we do different religious things, and it, in many ways, when you really kind of boil it down, it's almost like we're trying to bribe God to get our way. And almost, we'll just kind of overlook these things. I'll do these things for you, and you give me what I want. But of course, God knows our hearts. He's not, it's kind of silly trying to bribe him with stuff when he owns it all anyways, right? And he wants us to say, okay, I want your heart. I want you to surrender it to me. And we talked about that, the whole idea of being filled with the Spirit. It's not the idea how much we have of the Spirit, because we have all of them. It's how much the Spirit has of us. And our tendency is we hold on to these little things, and we need to let them go so that he can fill us, he can empower us, he can use us. And so it's really in these situations such as we're in right now, that it's a challenge to us and it's an opportunity. And if we respond properly, if we get serious with God, that we humble ourselves as his people, we get to praying as we should, we it isn't somewhere we just kind of do it kind of our 10 minutes a day and that's it kind of thing, where we're seeking God's help. We're praying not just for ourselves, we're praying for our nation, just praying for God's mercy. And we lead by example, that it talks about in 1 Peter the idea that judgment must begin at the house of God. And so we need to deal with these things. And when God sees that we're serious, then that's when he really gets serious. And that's the thing, is that he brings these things along because he's wanting us as his people to step up, respond properly, show leadership, intercede on behalf of our nation. And when we do that, that's when we see him really work. And so it's, I hope that with this, that it is a challenge to all of us that we see that our land is in need of healing. Our land is in need of God's forgiveness. We need God to hear. And it's the thing, if we go through these rough times and it gets us on our knees, gets us serious about our faith, gets us serious in prayer, then we see that it's something that God has, even that it seemed evil, that God brought it out for a good thing if we respond the right way. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would just kind of identify what's going on around us and not just gripe or complain about it, realizing, okay, God is working in this and it can bring something good if we respond the right way. And so may we do that. May we respond as he desires us to, so that our lives can be affected and our nation can be healed as well. All right, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed for this evening. Dearly Father, we just thank you for this time, and we just pray you would help us to fulfill what you would have us to do, to respond the proper way in these times. Just help us to realize that you're trying to do a work, and help us to be a part of that work. And just help us to get serious with you, and so that you can get serious with us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, that's service for today, so thank you all for coming, and see you all again soon. So I can turn off.